103. Because it's Father's Day, fathers, this message is geared at you, but don't worry, moms and anybody else, we can still learn from this text and a lot. So let's pay attention anyway. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly angels, hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Now that's pretty much a sermon on its own. You read through that psalm every day for the rest of your life, and you're going to get it. Hey? You're going to get it. Because the whole gospel message is wrapped up in this psalm. Everything we need for life and godliness is wrapped up in this psalm. But before we unpack it together, let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that this word today would become alive in us, will stir us up, will inspire us, and will teach us how to praise you with all that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think most people, after reading the psalm, the first question that comes to mind is, how do we do that? How do we praise the Lord with all that is within us? How do we bless his holy name in everything we say and do? Fathers, moms, and Christians, how do we do that so that our children's children, as it says in verse 17, will be declared God's righteousness is with them? How do we do that? How do we ensure that we can fully agree with the psalm to praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name? How do we do that? How do we do that when we face a life-threatening disease? How do we do that when our marriage is on the rocks? How do we do that when we cannot find a job or a career that completely fulfills us? How do we do that when we get that dreaded phone call or that report card? Flip side of the question, how do we do that when things go well? You know, when all the bills are paid and the bank balance looks good and the kids are healthy and their report cards are great. How do we do that when life is good and there's no trouble in sight? Verse 2, we do so by remembering all the benefits that we receive from the Lord. Friends, regardless of where we find ourselves in life, whether life is good or life is tough, we can sit here this morning knowing that we have already received many of the benefits from the Lord. Last night, if you slept in a warm bed, you've received benefits from the Lord. If you've had a meal to eat, either earlier this morning or later on this morning, or you've got something to drink, you've got running water in your home. Those are benefits that we've received. How about a good education? Hey, the ability to go and work. How about family and friends? And the list goes on and on and on with so many things, so many benefits that we've already received and continue to enjoy every day. But what about the eternal benefits that you and I have received? And verse 3 speaks about those in quite detail. It says, our sins have been forgiven. So yes, we've got a warm house and a lekker meal and something to drink. Yes, life is okay. But more importantly, our sins are forgiven. And may we be reminded of this when we have sinned and the guilt has just been poured all over us. May we be reminded that one of the benefits that we have received as Christians is our sins are forgiven completely. As it says from verse 8 onwards, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Man, I'm so grateful for that. Don't know about you, but sometimes I do something and I'm like, so grateful. So grateful. Thank you, Lord, that my sins are forgiven and that you don't treat me like my sins deserve. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. One of the immense benefits we have as Christians, that when we sin and we confess our sins, 1 John 1 verse 9, he says, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Does that mean we can just keep on sinning and doing life like we want? No, not at all. Because every time we sin, we become even more grateful for this gift. We discover every single time how amazing it is. So yes, friends, whether life is good or bad, may we be reminded that our sins are forgiven. That because of Jesus, we've been completely reconciled with God. And this in itself should stir us up to come here every Sunday and praise the Lord on top of the world. At the top of our lungs, praise the Lord. For I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind to the cost of his gift of eternal life, but now I see. Oh, how amazing is that grace that saved a wretch like me. But that's not all. God doesn't just forgive us our sins and reconcile us with him through Jesus Christ. He has also promised to heal every disease and mend every broken heart. Now, for some of us, we would experience that healing in this world. And that's really up to the Lord. But for some of us, we're going to have to wait until heaven, eh? Where we get our perfect six-pack bodies and great pics. We only get that in heaven for some of us, eh? And that's okay. But even then, oh my soul, praise the Lord. Because I'm not going to have this wretched body forever. He's prepared a wonderful, cycling fit body for me in heaven that hits a golf ball 500 meters. Can't wait. Hey, and straight. Where's Brian? Because I hit it long, but I want to hit it straight in the hole from the tee box, you know? And do it every single day into eternity. That will be heaven for me. But I cannot wait, and that's why, oh, praise the Lord, my soul, that there will come a time, and I'm pretty sure there are more people in this room that share this feeling. There will come a time where we don't have to wake up with pills anymore in the morning, with heat bags and ice packs and massages here and there and all this stuff to keep us going, hey? Wouldn't that be lekker? to wake up and, hey, my back is going, let's go, you know? Not like, oh, it's just, honey, I'm coming. Go pick up James. I'm coming. It's going to take a while. Hey, I can't wait. And I'm pretty sure there are more people in this room that you cannot wait to get into heaven with no more pain, no more suffering. Hey, and it's beyond the physical. No more emotional pain and suffering. Hey, wouldn't it be lucky to live in a world where people just love each other all the time? Hey, where there's no more hate. There was a massive fight outside of our gate on Friday night. Massive fight. Guy picking up a brick trying to kill another person. Just after our movie night. And you're like, what the heck is going on? And all they fought over was a car tip, you know? You tip a guy for looking after your car. Now I was looking after that car. Now I was looking after it. Split the tip, folks. No, I'll kill you for that tip. I'll kill you for R5. To the extent where guns were drawn outside. We had martial security here and the cops, and it was like, you know, Chicago, you know, PD, you know, or Hawaii 5-0. It was quite cool to an extent, but, you know, I was like, see you just now. You know, I was like, come on, Oaks. Lord, I cannot wait till we get into heaven and we don't need any more guns. We don't need money. We can just walk up to a tree and grab an apple and we're okay. Hey? Wouldn't that be amazing? Cannot wait for that life. And just in case you and I sit here this morning and our prayer is, Lord, let your kingdom come now. I've had enough. I want to go to heaven now. Sometimes we share that, eh? We're like, oh, I'm just not keen for this anymore. Verse 6 says, God works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. God is working in our lives at this very moment. And on Friday night, I stood there and I was like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, people could die tonight. What are you doing? And I had to remind myself of this text. God is working in our lives. And that's hard to believe sometimes when you're facing or you're fighting a life-threatening disease or your marriage is really struggling or the economy is tough and your business is about to close down. It's hard to believe this. Hey? And so this morning, I want to try something. And I might get into serious trouble for this, but that's okay. John only gets back in 3 weeks' time. I want to test this morning, whether we actually believe this. And so I'm gonna read a few things. And if any of this is true, I want you to stand. Okay. I want you to stand if any of this is true. You have lost a loved one, and you've experienced God's gentle healing through your pain. Please stand. A broken relationship has been restored. Please stand. An impossible solution to a very complicated situation has been answered and found. Please stand. A prayer that you have been praying for years has been answered. Please stand. Someone has hurt you deeply. And over time, you've seen how God has worked in your heart, in your life. He has restored that pain. And on the horizon, reconciliation is right there. Or you've experienced it already. Please stand. A prayer of somebody close to you has been answered. Please stand. Or you've seen something happen in your life. And it's just impossible for anything or anyone else to get credit for this but God. Please stand. Look around you. Friends, look around you. When your marriage is on the rocks, look around you right now. When you've lost a loved one and you're hurting inside, look around you. Look at how God works, even to this day. He heals the brokenhearted. And I know that for some of us, we're going to wait until heaven for some of this stuff to take place. I know for me, I'm going to wait until heaven comes for my relationship with my dad to be restored. But oh, I will praise the name of the Lord because I know it will happen. And this is evidence of it. So you may be seated. God is working in our lives all the time. And when we get discouraged by the challenges we're facing, may we be reminded of this picture today. I wish we had a camera in the room. And just like turn it around and take a picture and see what's happened to you. So that when you're struggling, you can just open it up and go, look, in 150 people's lives, God is working. And so He is working right now. So when we read through this psalm, there are plenty of things. He's forgiven our sins. He has created a place for us to go, and that place includes a nice six-pack filled body, disease-free, pain-healed. But I know that at times it's difficult for us to believe that. And most scholars agree that's why David wrote this psalm. He found himself in a very, very, very difficult place in his life where he was struggling to believe that God is still working. And that's why he started off with, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise His name. And then he goes and lists all the benefits that he has received and will receive to remind him that this life, this pain, this suffering too shall pass. But one day, like it says, He has created heaven. He's created the space of pure love and joy. We will be crowned with grace and compassion and love and experience that completely. Can't wait for that. But it seems like David was really struggling through this time. Because he says these words often, praise the Lord, my soul. It's like he's trying to convince himself that the words that he's using or uttering out of his mouth, it's like he's saying, come on, soul of David, praise the Lord. And he keeps doing it again and again and again until the words that he utters and the convictions of his heart are completely aligned, where he can live it out. But I'm not saying that it's easy. I don't think David is either. That's why he continued to say it again and again and again. And then he put this in there, and I'm so grateful for that. Because yes, when the joys of life, when things are going well, it is so easy to come in here or throughout the week, you're driving in the car and you might open the window and you've got your hand out because life is good and people are like, who are you waving at, you know? That you are praising the Lord because life is good. And it's easy. But when you're struggling through some stuff, like we saw, it's difficult when you've got the angry face and the sad face. And that's why we need psalms like this to go, but I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. Even in the storms of life, even in the dark of night, I will praise the Lord. And then when we look at verse 13 onwards in the text, it gives us hope for when we don't. For when we're just sitting in church or sitting in life going, Lord, I am really struggling to praise you right now. Yes, I remember all the benefits and I remember heaven and all the stuff that's going to happen then. But right now I'm struggling, Lord. And so it's tough. It's in those moments, verse 13, that as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows we are formed, he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And that life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. God knows that we are fragile human beings. That at times, just like when he challenged Peter to get out of the boat, I'm like, God, come on, just do that with me. I really want to walk on water. I think, you know, most of us, hey? That'd be the coolest thing ever, walking next to a whale and going, how's brew? You know, it'll be fantastic. And Peter gets the first couple of steps right, and he's probably like looking at a fish and chirping the fish and the crab down there, and Jesus is like, focus here, buddy. Because the moment those storms and the winds, and when you read the text, it says, the winds and the waves got stirred up, and he looked at the waves, and he started drowning. He took his eyes off of praising the Lord. He took his focus off of God for a brief moment, and all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I'm drowning. I can't handle this anymore, Lord. I cannot. I'm struggling. The Lord knows, yet he's compassionate and gracious. He reaches out to us and he goes, yeah, nice try riding a whale. Come, 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 let's go. But sometimes that come, 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 let's go will only happen in heaven when we step through those gates in heaven. Yet the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He says, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And nothing can separate you from my love. Verse 17, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. The Lord's love is with you, and nothing can separate you from that love. Romans 8, verse 35 to 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword or guns? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is yours in Christ Jesus. So when you face those storms, when you're out of the boat like Peter was, and you're looking at the wind and the waves, and you're starting to drown, remember that God is with you. He's right there within arm's reach, saying, nothing will ever separate my love from you, ever. Nor the storm you're facing, the hardship you're going through, I am with you always, to the very end of this age. And when you and I die, he'll welcome us with open arms, going, hey, that was quite a hurricane, but well done, good and faithful servant. Even in that hurricane, you praised me. Even in that hurricane, you gave glory and honor to my name. Might not be actual words we utter, or it might be that we have to remind ourselves like David, that praise the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, praise his holy name. Or you might just go in there in silence, going, Lord, I was so weak, I was so tired of all of the fighting. And the Lord will say, I know, I was with you, but even in your silence, you held on to me. Even when you're still, you knew that I was God and I'm with you through the storm. So friends, when you go through those storms, remember that your sins are forgiven and they are cast away as far as the east is from the west. You've been completely reconciled with God. He is with you every step of the way and nothing will ever be able to separate you from his presence and his love, ever. And hopefully you and I will get this right so that the world out there can see us fathers, mothers, Christians, see us praising the Lord regardless of what we're going through, praising the Lord in the joys of life and praising the Lord down in the dumps. But they can just see, wow, that man, that woman of faith, they really deeply love the Lord and they know that he is with them. Even in the storm, they might not utter it, but we can see it a mile away. So that our children's children will be seen and declared as the righteousness of God. May that be our challenge today. Go out there, go and praise the Lord in all that you say and do, to the extent to where others say your children, whether it's actual natural children or children in the faith, are declared the righteousness of God because of what you have done. Let's go and do it together. We're going to pray and then sing that song again, Oh Praise the Lord, and a song that we've sung over Easter this year, Oh Praise the Name of the Lord our God, and finish off with those two, kind of to help you keep this theme lingering in your life for the next week and days to come. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. It teaches us so much.